Chapter 82. Promising as these outrages were to Gashford's view, and much like business as they looked, they extended that night no farther. The soldiers were again called out, again they took half a dozen prisoners, and again the crowd dispersed after a short and bloodless scuffle. Hot and drunken though they were, they had not yet broken all bounds, and set all law and government at defiance. Something of their habitual deference to the authority erected by society for its own preservation yet remained among them, and had its majesty been vindicated in time, the secretary would have had to digest a bitter disappointment. By midnight, the streets were clear and quiet, and, save that there stood in two parts of the town a heap of nodding walls and pile of rubbish, where there had been at sunset a rich and handsome building, everything wore its usual aspect. Even the Catholic gentry and tradesmen, of whom there were many resident in different parts of the city and its suburbs, had no fear for their lives or property, and but little indignation for the wrong they had already sustained in the plunder and destruction of their temples of worship. An honest confidence in the government under whose protection they had lived for many years, and a well-founded reliance on the good feeling and right thinking of the great mass of the community, with whom, notwithstanding their religious differences, they were every day in habits of confidential, affectionate, and friendly intercourse, reassured them, even under the excesses that had been committed, and convinced them that they who were Protestants in anything but the name were no more to be considered as abettors of these disgraceful occurrences than they themselves were chargeable with the uses of the block, the rack, the gibbet, and the stake in cruel Mary's reign. The clock was on the stroke of one when Gabriel Varden, with his lady and Miss Mix, sat waiting in the little parlor. This fact, the toppling wicks of the dull, wasted candles, the silence that prevailed, and, above all, the nightcaps of both maid and matron, were sufficient evidence that they had been prepared for bed some time ago, and had some reason for sitting up so far beyond their usual hour. If any other corroborative testimony had been required, it would have been abundantly furnished in the actions of Miss Mix, who, having arrived at that restless state and sensitive condition of the nervous system which are the result of long watching, did, by a constant rubbing and tweaking of her nose, a perpetual change of position arising from the sudden growth of imaginary nuts and knobs in her chair, a frequent friction of her eyebrows, the incessant recurrence of a small cough, a small groan, a gasp, a sigh, a sniff, a spasmodic start, and by other demonstrations of that nature, so file down and rasp, as it were, the patience of the locksmith, that after looking at her in silence for some time, he at last broke out into this apostrophe. "Mix, my good girl, go to bed, do go to bed. You're really worse than the dripping of 100 water butts outside the window, or the scratching of as many mice behind the wainscot. I can't bear it. Do go to bed, Mix. To oblige me do. Apostrophe, you haven't got nothing to untie, sir, apostrophe," returned Miss Mix, "and therefore your request does not surprise me. But Miss Sis has, and while you sit up, Mim," she added, turning to the locksmith's wife, "I couldn't, no, not if 20 times the quantity of cold water was aperiently running down my back at this moment, go to bed with a quiet spirit." Apostrophe, having spoken these words, Miss Mix made divers efforts to rub her shoulders in an impossible place, and shivered from head to foot, thereby giving the beholders to understand that the imaginary cascade was still in full flow, but that a sense of duty upheld her under that and all other sufferings, and nerved her to endurance. Mrs. Varden being too sleepy to speak, and Miss Mix having, as the phrase is, said or say, the locksmith had nothing for it but to sigh, and be as quiet as he could. But to be quiet with such a basilisk before him was impossible. If he looked another way, it was worse to feel that she was rubbing her cheek, or twitching her ear, or winking her eye, or making all kinds of extraordinary shapes with her nose, than to see her do it. If she was for a moment free from any of these complaints, it was only because of her foot being asleep, or of her arm having got the fidgets, or of her leg being doubled up with the cramp, or of some other horrible disorder which racked her whole frame. If she did enjoy a moment's ease, then with her eyes shut and her mouth wide open, she would be seen to sit very stiff and upright in her chair, then to nod a little way forward and stop with a jerk, then to nod a little farther forward and stop with another jerk, then to recover herself, then to come forward again lower, lower, lower by very slow degrees, until, just as it seemed impossible that she could preserve her balance for another instant, and the locksmith was about to call out in an agony to save her from dashing down upon her forehead and fracturing her skull, then all of a sudden, and without the smallest notice, she would come upright and rigid again with her eyes open, and in her countenance an expression of defiance, sleepy but yet most obstinate, which plainly said, "I've never once closed them since I looked at you last, and I'll take my oath of it." Apostrophe, apostrophe, at length, after the clock had struck two, there was a sound at the street door, as if somebody had fallen against the knocker by accident. Miss Mix, immediately jumping up and clapping her hands, cried with a drowsy mingling of the sacred and profane, "Alleluia, Mim! There's Simmons knock!" Apostrophe, "Who's there?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Gabriel. "Me!" Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the well-known voice of Mr. Tappertit. Gabriel opened the door and gave him admission. He did not cut a very insinuating figure, for a man of his stature suffers in a crowd, and having been active in yesterday morning's work, his dress was literally crushed from head to foot. His hat being beaten out of all shape, and his shoes trodden down at heel like slippers. His coat fluttered in strips about him, the buckles were torn away both from his knees and feet, half his neckerchief was gone, and the bosom of his shirt was rent to tatters. Yet notwithstanding all these personal disadvantages, despite his being very weak from heat and fatigue, and so begrimed with mud and dust that he might have been in a case for anything of the real texture either of his skin or apparel that the eye could discern, he stalked haughtily into the parlor, and throwing himself into a chair, and endeavoring to thrust his hands into the pockets of his small clothes, which were turned inside out and displayed upon his legs, like tassels, surveyed the household with a gloomy dignity. "Simon," apostrophe said the locksmith gravely, "how comes it that you return home at this time of night, and in this condition? Give me an assurance that you have not been among the rioters, and I am satisfied." "Apostrophe, sir, apostrophe," replied Mr. Tappertit, with a contemptuous look, "I wonder at your assurance in making such demands." "Apostrophe, you have been drinking," apostrophe said the locksmith. "As a general principle, and in the most offensive sense of the words, sir," apostrophe returned his journeyman with great self-possession, "I consider you a liar. And that last observation you have unintentionally, sir, struck upon the truth." "Apostrophe, Martha," apostrophe said the locksmith, turning to his wife, and shaking his head sorrowfully, while a smile at the absurd figure beside him still played upon his open face, "I trust it may turn out that this poor lad is not the victim of the knaves and fools we have so often had words about, and who have done so much harm today. If he has been at Warwick Street or Duke Street tonight," apostrophe, "he has been at neither, sir," apostrophe cried Mr. Tappertit in a loud voice, which he suddenly dropped into a whisper as he repeated, with eyes fixed upon the locksmith, "he has been at neither." "Apostrophe, I am glad of it, with all my heart," apostrophe said the locksmith in a serious tone. "For if he had been, and it could be proved against him, Martha, your great association would have been to him the cart that draws men to the gallows and leaves them hanging in the air. It would, as sure as we're alive." Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mrs. Varden was too much scared by Simon's altered manner and appearance, and by the accounts of the rioters which had reached her ears that night, to offer any retort, or to have recourse to her usual matrimonial policy. Miss Mix wrung her hands and wept. He was not at Duke Street or at Warwick Street, G. Varden, apostrophe said Simon, sternly, but he was at Westminster. Perhaps, sir, he kicked a county member, perhaps, sir, he tapped a lord you may stare, sir, I repeated blood flowed from noses, and perhaps he tapped a lord. Who knows? This, apostrophe he added, putting his hand into his waistcoat pocket, and taking out a large tooth, at the sight of which both Mix and Mrs. Varden screamed, this was a bishop's. Beware, G. Varden. Apostrophe, now, I would rather, apostrophe said the locksmith hastily, have paid £500, than at this come to pass. You idiot, do you know what peril you stand in? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I know it, sir, apostrophe replied his journeyman, and it is my glory. I was there, everybody saw me there. I was conspicuous, and prominent. I will abide the consequences. Apostrophe, the locksmith, really disturbed and agitated, paced to and fro in silence glancing at his former apprentice every now and then and at length stopping before him, said, get to bed, and sleep for a couple of hours, that you may wake penitent, and with some of your senses about you. Be sorry for what you have done, and we will try to save you. If I call him by 5 o'clock, apostrophe said Varden, turning hurriedly to his wife, and he washes himself clean and changes his dress, he may get to the tower stairs, and away by the Gravesend tide boat, before any search is made for him. From there he can easily get on to Canterbury, where your cousin will give him work till his storm has blown over. I am not sure that I do right in screening him from the punishment he deserves, but he has lived in this house, man and boy, for a dozen years, and I should be sorry if for this one day's work he made a miserable end. Lock the front door, Mix, and show no light towards the street when you go upstairs. Quick, Simon. Get to bed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and do you suppose, sir, apostrophe retorted Mr. Tappertit, with a thickness and slowness of speech which contrasted forcibly with the rapidity and earnestness of his kind-hearted master, and do you suppose, sir, that I am base, and mean enough to accept your servile proposition? Miscreant. Apostrophe, whatever you please, Sim, but get to bed. Every minute is of consequence. The light here, Mix. Apostrophe, yes, yes, oh do. Go to bed directly, apostrophe cried the two women together. Mr. Tappertit stood upon his feet, and pushing his chair away to show that he needed no assistance, answered, swaying himself to and fro, and managing his head, as if it had no connection whatever with his body. You spoke of Mix, Sir Mix may be smothered. Apostrophe, apostrophe, O Simon. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ejaculated that young lady in a faint voice. O Mim. O Sir. O goodness gracious, what a turn he has given me. Apostrophe, this family may all be smothered, Sir, apostrophe returned Mr. Tappertit, after glancing at her with a smile of ineffable disdain, excepting Mrs. Five. I have come here, Sir, for her sake, this night. Mrs. Varden, take this piece of paper. It's a protection, ma'am. You may need it. Apostrophe, with these words he held out at arm's length, a dirty, crumpled scrap of writing. The locksmith took it from him, opened it, and read as follows. All good friends to our cause, I hope will be particular, and do no injury to the property of any true Protestant. I am well assured that the proprietor of this house is a staunch and worthy friend to the cause. George Gordon. Apostrophe, what's this? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the locksmith, with an altered face. Something that'll do you good service, young feller, apostrophe replied his journeyman, as you'll find. Keep that safe, and where you can lay your hand upon it in an instant. And chalk no popery on your door tomorrow night, and for a week to come that's all. Apostrophe, this is a genuine document, apostrophe said the locksmith, I know, for I have seen the hand before. What threat does it imply? What devil is abroad? apostrophe apostrophe, a fiery devil, apostrophe retorted Sim, a flaming, furious devil. Don't you put yourself in its way, or you're done for, my buck. Be warned in time, G. Varden. Farewell. Apostrophe, but here the two women threw themselves in his way, especially Miss Mix, who fell upon him with such fervor that she pinned him against the wall, and conjured him in moving words not to go forth till he was sober, to listen to reason, to think of it, to take some rest, and then determine. I tell you, apostrophe, said Mr. Tappertit, that my mind is made up. My bleeding country calls me and I go. Mix, if you don't get out of the way, I'll pinch you. Apostrophe, Miss Mix, still clinging to the rebel, screamed once vociferously, but whether in the distraction of her mind, or because of his having executed his threat, is uncertain. Release me, apostrophe, said Simon, struggling to free himself from her chaste, but spider-like embrace. Let me go. I have made arrangements for you in an altered state of society, and mean to provide for you comfortably in life there. Will that satisfy you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh Simon. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Miss Mix. Oh my blessed Simon. Oh Mim. What are my feelings at this conflicting moment? Apostrophe, apostrophe, of a rather turbulent description, it would seem. For her nightcap had been knocked off in the scuffle, and she was on her knees upon the floor, making a strange revelation of blue and yellow curl papers, straggling locks of hair, tags of styluses, and strings of it's impossible to say what, panting for breath, clasping her hands, turning her eyes upwards, shedding abundance of tears, and exhibiting various other symptoms of the acutest mental suffering. I leave, apostrophe, said Simon, turning to his master, with an utter disregard of Mick's maidenly affliction, a box of things upstairs. Do what you like with them. I don't want them. I'm never coming back here, anymore. Provide yourself, sir, with a journeyman. I'm my country's journeyman. Henceforward that's my line of business. Apostrophe, be what you like in 2 hours' time, but now go up to bed, apostrophe, returned the locksmith, planting himself in the doorway. Do you hear me? Go to bed. Apostrophe, I hear you, and defy you, Varden, apostrophe, rejoined Simon Tappertit. This night, sir, I have been in the country, planning an expedition which shall fill your bell-hanging soul with wonder and... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.